When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The My Baby and Me podcast, in association with Nook.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and welcome to another My Baby and Me podcast, where each time we're discussing a different aspect of pregnancy, parenthood, and everyday life with your new baby. We're here to share our advice, our own experiences, and the odd horror story, just in the hope, really, that you might do a little bit better than we did on the road to being a mum. On today's episode, we're discussing your home and your family, and how best to introduce a new baby to it. So with me again in the studio, we've got Lucy Mangan. You'll have read her columns in The Guardian and in the magazine Stylist. Lucy, welcome to you.
Hi, Jane.
Also here, the writer and broadcaster Ian McIntosh and the BBC Asian Network's Nihal. You've got the two children, Nihal. Yes, Lucy and Ian have got a three-year-old each, a girl in your case, Ian, and a son in your case, Lucy. So I've got that straight. Nihal, you've got one of each.
One of each, yes.
And who came first?
The boy.
Right.
Yes.
And how, I mean, was he old enough to understand getting a sibling?
Yeah, he, I mean, there's only 20 months between the two of them, so fairly close. And he absolutely, yeah, adored the fact that there was this. He wasn't kind of old enough, the gap wasn't big enough for there to be a conscious, wait a minute, whoa, you're taking away my shine. And one thing that my friend suggested to me was that when you go to pick up the second child at the hospital, have a present for your first child in the car and say, oh, look, you know, she's brought you a present. Your new baby. And that worked wonders, I've got to say.
He swallowed that.
It was the classic PR vibe on that one.
What was the present?
I can't remember what the present was, but it was something he clearly loved. And the fact it just said present and it was wrapped in shiny paper was more than enough for a sub-2-year-old. Yeah.
So don't try that with a 15-year-old, by the way, if that happens.
That might not. Well, I don't know. It depends on the present, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, actually, you're right.
Here's 2 weeks in Ibiza that this little baby has paid for, miraculously.
Now, not old enough to really care, but also not old enough to be a help of any kind. Actually, there's a 3-year gap between my kids, and that meant that my oldest child genuinely could help with the younger one in the sense that she could go and get a nappy or something like that, fetch the wipes. I thought that was good. Yeah. And also it meant that I could actually hold a conversation with one of my children, often about the other one.
That was not the case.
No.
That was not the case.
And were there huge problems in adjusting between having one child and then having the two?
The difference seemed as if we'd had five more children. It was just so overwhelming. It wasn't as if it was just kind of like, well, you know, we've got used to that. Oh, it'll just be that again. It seemed as if it was multiplied so many more times. And then kind of recently, I've been really kind of lobbying for a third child, but everyone seems to tell me that that is an absolute madness, but yet not as big a jump in some ways. The second to the third is not as bad as the first to the second. I say
my
bad.
My friend saying she got her third child. Well, you're stuck at home anyway, aren't you? Why not have a third? Why not bring forth life again if you're stuck at home anyway?
Oh, keep going, a fourth, a fifth. I mean, what reason to stop? Either of you or Ian at a stage where you might be thinking of having another one now?
I'm not and never will be. My husband disagrees on this issue.
I see. And Ian?
I think we'd like one, but the practicalities of property in London make this a little bit difficult. We're just in a two-bedroom flat at the moment, which doesn't lend itself really well to expanding the population.
And that's a real issue faced by people often in London, though not exclusively in London, certainly. I mean, just you need more space. You really do.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that the biggest concern is sleep. And, you know, you need to get them both down at exactly the same time and then not have either of them wake up. And I think that's statistically impossible. Yeah. So more rooms, more space between them is definitely the key.
Now, when you had your baby daughter, did you really think about, what's the expression, baby-proofing the flat? And was that something you did?
We did, and we were well ahead of ourselves because I don't think we really needed to in the early stages because they're pretty immobile. There's not much that they can do. But once they start to move, that's when the dangers are. So the stair gate is obviously the number one concern, which is a real problem if you live somewhere with sort of staggered stairs and you end up having to buy about eight of them.
Did you become Mr. Health and Safety? Were you neurotic, Nihal, before, after or during?
No. Born in the UK, but kind of genetically Sri Lankan, island race, pretty laid back about such things. Anyone here, baby dropped off a changing table onto the floor?
No, but it does happen.
It happened to both of our kids. Not that we did it on purpose, but they dropped off and you find out how kind of bouncy they are at that point.
I've always wondered.
I couldn't do any Harlem Globetrotter like tricks with my son or my daughter. But no, we didn't start doing all that. And you don't need to until they become mobile, do you? And then once they became mobile, I was doing something on the right stuff on Channel 5. And is it Larry Turner? Yeah. Her name's Larry Turner. She was castigating me because we make our kids wear these kind of helmets when they're on their scooters. And she was like, what are you doing? That's so lame that you were doing that. You're kind of mollycoddling them. And I was made to feel like that. And I thought, well, they do go quite fast downhill. And I kind of, perhaps for the sake of principle, don't want their heads to smash into a tree from about 3 years old.
Unnecessarily gave you a hard time because I've heard there are some people, if they're in a house with wooden or solid floors, make their children wear a helmet in the house.
Yeah, no,
that seems a bit much.
Well,
we of course had all the walls padded.
We did that. We had the ceilings padded too.
Yeah,
well.
We did all that, which was a mistake because we had trampolines everywhere, so we had to do that because that's how my wife and I like to get around off.
We come to your house.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Shoes off, please.
Shoes off.
Giant gambardos.
You mentioned Ian, space or lack of it, and actually you've got to think about this when you're choosing your baby buggy in particular. If you can't, how do you get it up and down the stairs or steps outside?
This is the thing. You can be bewitched by certain aspects of pushchairs. You know, fur lined or design colours. What you really want more than anything is something you can assemble and disassemble with one hand. That's the key to everything. In some circumstances, it's always going to be difficult. My sister lives in a third floor flat. So getting baby bag and everything down three flights of stairs is one thing. Then getting back up with the shopping is another thing entirely. I was lucky enough to live in a house in the northeast where it was a big wide front door and then you're straight in the house with a very low step. But accessibility is everything. And clear the space before the baby comes in. Make sure shoe racks are moved to somewhere more sensible.
And can you fold it one-handed? It's something that you've got to kind of look at. I remember when our son was born, it was right in the middle of this craze of this particular type of pram, which was about £800.
Did you get one?
No. We went to a well-known department store and asked about what prams we should get, and this person was kind of gravitating us towards this thing. And this is how they were selling it to us. They were saying, well, you know, you can go on the beach, you can go in the forest, you can go across country. We went, they're not SAS training, it's a baby. I want to know, can I get it from the supermarket car park into the supermarket? Can I get it on? I don't know if you've noticed, but in London, we've got pavements everywhere. I don't need to off-road with my baby.
You do get my particular bugbear, I don't know whether Lucy agrees with me on this, is the man, presumably the dad, who will walk pushing the buggy with one hand because he's so damn cool. He's got a coffee in the other one or maybe he's looking at his phone. And the impression he gives as he goes through the park is that he's actually too important to be pushing this buggy.
I think a man thinks that in his mind, women are so impressed. Firstly, oh my God, look, there's a dad with his child. That's amazing. And look, there's a dad multitasking. Isn't that amazing? I wish my husband was like that. When in fact, as you've pointed out, you're just thinking, not. Essentially.
In fairness, it's only me thinking.
Oh, right, OK.
I wasn't even sure whether Lucy agreed with me, to be honest.
Right.
She didn't really give a view. What do you think about that?
I don't know why, because, you know, I was born in 1973, not 1873, but I'm still so impressed to see Dad's, or to see Dad's out. I still think it's like a living Athena poster. I'm still very...
Yeah, great Athena poster.
And it is true. I think women are... I think actually you're right, or rather you're wrong. I think women are impressed by men with babies, even though I even people like me, I try very hard not to be impressed, but there's something... I think Lucy's onto something. Yeah. I sort of am impressed in spite of myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm angry as well, because I don't think a man would be impressed by a woman behaving like that ever.
It's appalling. If I had the attention before I was married and before I had a child that I get now, if I walk through a large department store, particularly in the makeup counter with my daughter, God, I would never have got married. It's like being a rock star. They're just, oh my, look at him, he's carrying a child. That's amazing.
But you know it's wrong, don't you?
Oh, completely.
Yeah, okay.
But it doesn't stop me going back.
My husband comes back and comes back from a trip through the park and goes, they were all undressing me with their eyes again. Or were they really? Okay. It wasn't the tweed jacket with the orange trousers in the middle of Catford that was doing it, was it?
At Nook, we believe our job is to make your life easier. For over 60 years, we've been listening to midwives, doctors, dentists, and most importantly, parents. Only by listening have we been able to deliver a range of products that is specifically designed to satisfy the needs of mother and baby in those precious early years. To find out more about the full range of Nook products, visit our website at www.nook.co.uk. Nook. Understanding life.
Lots of us have got pets and had pets long before we had babies. Yeah. And we sometimes feel a great loyalty to the pets, perhaps sometimes more than to our children. You've got a dog, Nihal.
Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Did you got that after?
No.
No.
So my wife and I, she moved to the UK from Sri Lanka, and we bought some plants. They all died. I think maybe there was some fish involved. They died. And then we thought, right, let's get a dog. We were basically going through things, and if they survived, then we could have children, essentially, because it proves that we could keep something alive. We failed with fish and plants, but the dog was good. Dog healthy, fine, well-trained.
Yeah.
And then we decided to breed after that. And the great thing about it is that, I mean, I'm from Essex, like you are, Ian, and Staffordshire Bull Terriers are greatly loved dogs in Essex. People will stop and they'll talk to you. Now, in London, depending on the kind of ethnic makeup of the area, lots of people of colour are terrified of dogs, and especially Staffordshire Bull Terriers.
Well, I was going to ask, and I would imagine, this is from a position of ignorance, that they're not great around kids.
They are amazing nanny dogs. In fact, they're notorious for being great dogs. Now, you know, just like humans, if dogs are brutalised, they will become brutal. Staffordshire Bull Terriers, I cannot recommend enough. Anyone you know who is someone who owns a Staffy and is a responsible owner will tell you just how fantastic they are. I mean, they're hugely protective. I mean, my daughter, who's five, and our staff have this bond that is just so beautiful to watch. And my gosh, if anyone was to be aggressive towards my daughter, this dog is incredibly protective.
So how did you introduce dog to daughter then? Or did you not worry about it at all?
What we did was that we took a kind of blanket and gave to the dog to just kind of feel the scent, just to smell the scent, not to tear up, obviously. that would have been really not helpful. So she got used to the smell, and that there was no threat. And also as well, to make sure that what you don't do is suddenly start ignoring your dog. Now, cats are pretty much self-sufficient, aren't they? But dogs need a lot of attention. So what you don't do is, when you have children, is kind of put the dog away and just keep locking it away and keep telling it it's not part of that. You have to make sure that the dog can smell the child, can lick the child, can very much feel as though that it's a new addition to the family, not a threat to what the dog is all about. And we did that, and it's very simple to do. It's very easy to do.
It's like having a third child, isn't it? Like having a toddler there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, our dog, our Staffy, is beautiful. And, you know, if you bring up a dog responsibly, any dog, then it's going to be great. But Staffies are particularly good with children.
And, Lucy, you're a cat woman.
I've got two cats, yeah.
Wow.
And when the child came home, we ended up having to put the cat on antidepressants as well.
Are you serious about that?
Yeah. It started pulling its fur out of its base of its tail, so I tweeted about it, and got the reply back that, yeah, it's because it's stress. I know.
Hashtag first world problems.
Yeah.
Cat antidepressants.
Well, you know, pulling its tail. I thought it was, you know, dying of something. It just looked, got scraggy. And all these vets came on and said, no, it's just stress and depression. You can get something that you plug into the wall, this pheromone, and it'll... I wish. And it'll sort it out.
And has
so,
it?
You know, a mere 6 months later, we managed to go down to the vets, buy this thing, and yeah, it did.
What's the name of that cat?
Henry.
I always think it's important to know cats' names. Yeah. I never got the name of your bull terrier.
Luna.
Right.
Luna Staffy. Yeah.
And Ian, you've got...
General Zod
is
my
cat.
Yeah.
Ever abbreviated just to Zod?
Yeah, it can be Zod, Zodric.
It's a bit formal.
Yeah, well, you have to keep up standards in the military. You know, just at least the first time you walk into the house.
I know some people think it's nice to have, you know, it's all part of family life to have animals. But, I mean, is there any health risk at all with cats and small babies and kids?
Cats well, more so, apparently,
cats,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Cat litter
yeah.
and...
You can't, yeah, you've got to be careful.
There's the, I can't even remember, toxoplasmosis?
Toxoplasmosis, isn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
Where does that come from?
It's cat litter. You mustn't, if you're pregnant or thinking of becoming so, you mustn't clear out cat litter because you'll get oocytes, I think it's pronounced. And if you get toxoplasmosis, will basically make your baby blind.
Okay, that best avoided then, I think.
Yeah.
So do your children take any notice, or at what stage, Nihal, did they start to take notice of the dog? Because I've been watching my littlest nephew, who's now 4, has grown up with a dog in the house. And frankly, the way he treated the dog as soon as he could move around was actually quite nerve-wracking. She's a beautiful, fortunately, incredibly patient dog. But he'd be gliding under her stomach, riding on her back. And you have to be a little bit wary, don't you? Even with a dog you think you know really well.
Yeah, I mean, the golden rule is you would never, ever leave a child alone with a dog, ever. It doesn't matter how much you feel that you love and trust it, it is an animal, and you just don't want to be that person who has to call 999 because your dog, no matter what breed, has turned on your child, however patient and loving it is. So that was always our rule. And again, it's not a complicated rule. I mean, it's just don't leave your child alone with your dog. I mean, simple, really. You just don't do it. They are incredibly loving animals, but you just don't know. I mean, you just don't know. And my staff is very, very patient. Now my 5-year-old is constantly kind of wrestling with her and kind of not pulling her tail. That's one thing you just don't do. And she's only ever growled at my daughter once, and that was when she was eating. And my daughter was harassing her when she was trying to eat. So she knows that there are certain things that you just don't do. I mean, it's just common sense, really.
And General Zod, has any scratching going on?
No, funnily enough, General Zod punched my daughter in the face the other day, but just with pads, not with claws, which we're all quite impressed by. And we generally agreed, everyone had seen it, there were plenty of witnesses that my daughter had been asking for it, because she had gone near the tail, and we'd always said, don't go near the tail. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a short, sharp lesson. She just got up and went, General Zod punched me. And there's something always very strange about hearing a 3-year-old say the words General Zod at the best
it's
of
the
times.
Fact that she gives him his full title.
Yeah, well, that's respect.
Well,
that's
older.
How we brought her up.
He's old, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's two things about pets. It's number one, if you've got them before the child comes home, I wish I hadn't got cats because they are just more work for me. You know, I have to get up and let them, I have to feed them, and when I just want to go to bed. And so if I had my time again, I'd just have the baby, not the cats. But if you've got the cats or the dog, it is actually quite interesting as the child gets a bit older, because you can tell them things about the cat. You say, don't do that, you know, or, you know, mustn't do it. And they'll take it about this other living thing in a way that they wouldn't, you know, if you say, don't touch that, you know, caustic chemical under the sink. They'll go, oh, caustic chemical. They'll take it. And it's quite interesting to see how they kind of very primitive understanding from very early on that you really mean it when you say about a living thing must be treated with more respect than inanimate objects.
So they're worth it. Having the animals and the children, definitely
it's
worth
just,
it.
No, it's just more interesting.
I think you've been
on,
can I just say, Lucy, to have a cat on antidepressants, you've been unlucky. Your experience is not...
It was nice to have company.
Yes, OK, so there was more than one of you on antidepressants. That's good.
Having pets around a child is really good because it does teach them a lot about caring about someone else
does,
and
yeah,
about
meant,
respect
really.
for animals, and it's kind of made my daughter borderline vegetarian. Not that we eat dog in our house.
Well, I would hope not. My thanks once again to Lucy Mangan, to Ian McIntosh and to Nihal. They're all on Twitter, at Lucy Mangan, at Ian McIntosh and at The Real Nihal. And I'm there as well. It's at Jane Garvey One. And make sure, if you can, that you share this podcast with your friends and your fellow mums on Facebook. You can find the rest of our episodes on iTunes. And if you've got any time at all between being puked on and maybe grabbing your first shower of the month, you can also leave a review for us as well. We'd appreciate that. I'm Jane Garvey. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
You've been listening to the My Baby and Me podcast in association with Nook. Visit us at nook.co.uk.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.